Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen, everybody, we are recording at our normal time today, which just so happens to be Election Day.
And we're fine.
We're fine.
And great.
We're fine.
I am still in my pajamas, and I'm not getting out of them. And I wore these pajamas to a Broadway show last night, went to bed in them, and lo and behold, here I am in those same pajamas. So,
you know, we're fine. We are okay.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Daisy Egan, happy day after your birthday. How was your birthday?
My birthday was nice. I had a spa day courtesy of my family. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to Barry about this morning. You know, for some reason, spa massages are always more expensive, but not as good as like a massage you can get at the Thai place on the corner.
Yes.
What is that?
Oh my God. There is this place on 9th. It was called Two Fishes.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours for $80. Dollars.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that. Is it gone now?
It's gone. And I don't even care if it was a rub and tug.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know what it was. I don't care.
No.
Because there was a woman named Mercedes and she would fuck my shit up.
Yeah, I love a good massage. This was fine because I didn't pay for it. So it was like nice and relaxing. But there was like a water journey beforehand where you went in the hot pool and the cold plunge and the thing.
I do love that.
It was nice, except it was co-ed and it was kind of like, I don't need these fucking men in my space. Yeah.
There were boys there?
Yeah, there were boys there. It was gross.
Oh, God, that ruins it all.
I know.
I didn't know there were boys there. You didn't tell me that?
Yeah, well, I just told you that.
I would sue. Welcome, everyone, to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I'm Ellen Marsh, and across from me is my decorated, more esteemed partner, Daisy Egan. You're here for a Love is Blind recap podcast, and if that's not where you meant to be, that's weird.
How'd you end up here?
That's so weird. You all, we have merch.
We do. We have merch. I'm in the middle of buying merch. I was trying to decide if I wanted a small or a medium blase blah sweatshirt.
I always like to go bigger with sweatshirts.
Yeah.
I always like them to be cozy and like big. So I actually even sometimes buy larges. Just go crazy.
I think large, I would look like I was swimming in it, but I think a medium might be nice.
Yeah. You are a tiny, tiny person. Are you a full person? Are you considered one whole person?
Yeah.
Like you get a vote?
Yeah.
Like a full one?
Well, I have a kid, so that's what got me the vote. Because, you know, unmarried women are basically not citizens.
No, I did know that. I just meant because you're so wee.
No, I understand. Once I had the kid, that's when I got. They were like, well, you're really small.
Because, like, he's little and you're little. So together you make one. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That is super cute.
We put ourselves in a trench coat and I stand on his shoulders. It's great.
Do you watch BoJack Horseman?
Yes.
That character.
Yeah.
Which is weird. They have sex. Anyway, our merch you can find on our Instagram in our link tree.
Just for clarification, because somebody did DM me about this, STFU does not have an Instagram page. The last thing that Ellen Marsh needs on this planet is another Instagram page.
You guys, they don't even give me the credentials to that Instagram page. If I want to post anything, I have to text it to them because they're like, she cannot be trusted. And I actually applaud that decision.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you guys think for me. Yes, it is on the Grab Bag Collab Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the link tree. There's dramatically underpriced tote bags.
So underpriced.
I think you guys posted the wholesale price and good luck with that. I just work there. I don't reap any benefits. But go take a look. There's cozy stuff. We do use the same supplier as we do on I Think Not. So if you love our I Think Not, it is purchased from a small business in Wichita, Kansas. So if you like that merch. You're going to love that merch too. Take a look. I'm just so happy to be here. That way I'm not thinking about Election Day.
Yes, we are so happy to be giving everybody who's here live a fucking break from the world at this moment. Really important things are happening, and we are talking about fucking morons on reality television. And what could be better?
Honestly, I think this is more riveting than what's happening in my phone. I had to explain to Daisy, I have made a change in my life. When I'm working, I need my phone away from me because I can have time blindness. If I can go check my DMs for 30 seconds and I am 45 minutes later, I have not put my phone down today, Daisy.
I've barely looked at it.
I can't turn away. This is why I can't be trusted. Put my phone in a lockbox, essentially. That's going to be my next step.
I thought about it this morning. I was like, you know what? There's actually nothing I can fucking do right now.
Yeah.
And
no,
like,
you're right.
Stressing about it is not going to fix. I mean, I don't really listen to the news anymore anyway because it makes me insane, but I am a check it out.
But I do want to tell you something that I learned before we jump in.
Great.
Because you can learn things on social media. That is legit. Like, I have looked things up on TikTok. Like, I have a black sink and I was like, how to wash a black sink?
Yeah.
Boom, it was on TikTok. I do want to say that Donald Trump had a really good medicine or something for depression.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he said it in one of his speeches the other night. He said the cure for depression is to work more.
Oh my God.
That is why I'm so perfect.
Right.
I don't worry. I'm not depressed or anxious. And I was like, it's because I work all the time.
Yeah.
So you all, let this be a lesson to you from our former president. If you are depressed, work more.
Yeah, yeah. You may think you're depressed because of work, but it's actually because you're not doing enough working.
You might think you're depressed and all you have to do is not be.
Yeah. I actually went to see a new doctor last week to get my lab, my fucking perimenopause, whatever labs. And she's a young woman because it's like a training place. And I didn't realize until afterward that she literally told me to exercise and drink more water. I was like,
get out. What?
I was like, I wake up in the morning and I want to die. I want to be dead.
Yeah.
If I didn't have a kid, I think everybody else would be fine. And she was like, you need more water.
So are you in perimenopause? Did they tell you that?
She said it's inconclusive. And the deal with those hormones is that they fluctuate wildly. And basically, most women who know about it are like, don't even bother with the blood work. If you're having fucking symptoms, you're having fucking meripenopause.
Maybe someone can tell me why my hormones are raging. And I have been hornier than I've ever been in my 40s than I was in my 20s.
I love that for you.
So sorry to my ex-husband. Anyway, let's dive into Love is Blind, which is why we're here.
Oh, I guess so.
Season 7, episode 8. What is the title? I don't know.
Dump My Shit, Fuck a Duck.
Yeah.
Dirty Secrets, like Dirty Laundry. Hold on. Let me find it.
It's fine. It's episode 8. What are they going to get thrown off? They're like, I don't even know. I don't know where they are in the series. I'm lost. But we're still in D.C., everyone.
Well, where else would we be? Ashley and Tim are negotiating how much he's allowed to participate.
Ashley and who?
Ashley and Tyler.
There it is.
Ashley and Tyler are negotiating how much he is allowed to participate in their wedding planning and the naming of their children.
And he wants to be very involved in the wedding, which is interesting because there are other aspects of his life that he's not involved at all, like the rearing of his three whole ass babies.
Yeah.
So that was like a interesting conversation. Ashley also says that planning a wedding is every girl's dream.
No, it's not. Stop saying that.
I guess I've been a cunt since the beginning of time. People think I'm just a bitter, jaded person because I'm divorced. I have always been a bitter, jaded person.
I never thought about it.
I never once dreamed about my wedding. No. I have told this story that I bought my wedding dress on a lunch break in Seattle. Are we the wrong ones? Genuinely. Like, are we missing that chip?
No, we're not missing a chip. It's like a chip has been implanted and like they have an extra thing. Like, you know?
Thing.
An extra thing.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Scientifically, I know what you mean.
This is an educational podcast. They have an extra thing and that's what's wrong.
And that's cats. They make a deal that Tyler can choose their first son's name. But that's his second son. Am I right, Tyler?
It sure is. Oops, I already did that one. Can I get another one?
That's a gotcha moment right there.
Stephen and Monica are going to press flowers. And man, is this woman excited. She walks into a place that has flowers in it and she comes so hard everywhere.
It's like slippery when wet. Steven is terrified of Monica in this scene, yes?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah.
The terror in his eyes, like, do you like it? Is this good?
Did I do okay?
Are you mad at me?
What's happening? He says that he's used to gluing small things because he makes little models, and Monica's like, yeah, I don't think anybody understands what you're saying when you say that. And the woman teaching them the flowers thing is like, no, I understand he makes small models. Like, that's not...
Haley is not here for Monica's bullshit.
Then he tells us in confessional...
Flowers are nice, yes, but I'm sure there are people out there that are like, if I do this, I'm going to get laid. Cool. You know, and that is a great perk. I mean, let's be honest. You know, if you do something right and you get rewarded with sex, like...
Dude, nobody brought it up.
He brings up sex at the weirdest times. I love talking about sex. It doesn't bother me. But, sir, this is a Chipotle.
Yeah.
What do you want? Do you want guacamole or not?
Yeah.
It's very strange. And so Monica did Pilates with Taylor, and she said that Taylor's parents don't want to be on film either, just like Monica's parents. And she's like, no, my dad's happy and, like, wants to meet you. He doesn't want to be on camera, but he just, like, wants to know, you know, he just wants to make sure you're a good guy, not like a, you know, not like a liar like all my exes.
My dad was like, how do you know he's not a liar? And boy, Steven finds this hilarious. Me? Could you?
That is a knee slapper.
That is so funny.
She said that I would be a liar.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be nuts.
If I was a liar, am I right? Oh, my, me.
Haley, did you hear what she just said?
She's like, I'm the flower girl. Please don't talk
to me.
Please,
I don't care about your models and I don't care about whatever this dynamic is. Please.
He can't wait to prove to Monica's dad how genuine he is. Put a pin in that.
Yep, put a pin right in it. Then he licks her fucking face and I wanted to kill everybody around me.
Mm-hmm. Say more.
Monica has this habit of, like, when she wants a kiss, instead of going in for a kiss, she just makes kissy lips and she makes him come to her. So she makes kissy lips, but then she turns it into a fish face and then he goes in and licks from her chin to her nose.
How are you feeling about Monica in this very moment?
I mean, I feel bad for her because I don't want anybody to ever lick my face.
Okay. I meant a little bit more macro.
She just feels manipulative and she feels like passive aggressive, very controlling.
I always use this as a litmus test, and it doesn't make sense to anyone but me. She's not the kind of woman I would be friends with.
No.
She's just kind of like blase blah, but pretending not to be.
Yeah.
And really controlling and pretending not to be.
Yes.
It's like she's playing a part.
Yes. Everything with her feels put on and forced.
Even watching it the first time, not knowing what we know, I just remember being like, we wouldn't vibe. We wouldn't be friends.
No, absolutely not. Now Hannah, spelled backwards as Hannah, is going to see Nick D's nuts house for the first time. He tells us in confessional, you know, some people might see him living with his parents as a negative thing. Yes, sir. You're 28 and you're about to get married. It's not a great look.
I have conflicting feelings about it because, yes, I agree. I have been independent since I was 18. But also I know that we're like the only country that kicks our kids out at 18. And they're like, deuces, good luck. Decide what you're doing for the rest of your life. Most families in other countries do live in that setting. And I understand, like, living at home to save money. I almost judge people more when they have roommates.
Oh.
Like, if a 35-year-old was like, I have a roommate, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Go and live with your parents. What? I don't know.
Well, some people's parents won't let them live with them. Nick D's Nuts is telling us.
The fact that I have a really cool spot, you know, where my parents are still at, they like the fact that I'm here. If you want to, you know, think it's embarrassing, that's fine. I don't. I love my parents. I love my space. So it's good with me.
Bro, it is your parents' house.
You live in the basement.
It is not a cool spot that your parents are still there.
Yeah, there's Jesus candles everywhere.
That is your parents' house and you're in the basement.
The long ones, those prayer candles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She asks him if he cooks and then he claims that, like, yeah, lately I've been cooking. Mm-hmm. And then she asks if he feeds the cat. And he doesn't in the morning because he can't be bothered to wake up that early. I mean, he is not doing himself any favors.
No. The least you can do is take care of the pussy.
Yes.
That's the bare minimum.
That is
the
bare minimum.
That's a life lesson.
He takes her into his childhood bedroom, which has clearly not been touched since he moved out into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes her down to the basement, which is, you know, his man cave where he lives. There's Jesus stuff and baby pictures everywhere, which I thought was an odd choice for his own personal space, especially mm-hmm. since he was like, I'm not that Jesus-y. But he shows her his first stuffed animal, fucking Bruno or whatever the fucking thing's name is. And she's like, okay.
Nyack, did you read all these books,
Nyack? Wow, Nick, there's like 15 books here. You read all them books?
Cut to 10 volumes of Diary of a Wimping Kid. He's like,
volume 3 is a classic. Please don't touch that.
Wait, but did you zoom in as to what those books were? We did this in our live show, which is, by the way, available on our Patreon mm-hmm. if you want to see.
His books were the Divergent series, Fire and Ice, like some dragon bullshit. I think there was a Socrates book in there, but it was clearly from school.
Yeah.
And I think there was probably like a How to Make Money.
Hannah is only the third person to see his man cave. Mm-hmm. Kelly wrote in the chat, are the other two people his parents?
You're the third person who's come down here.
She just continues to dog on him. She was expecting a mansion uh-huh. and a pool table. And then she says, I wish you were handier. Can you hang that mirror? Why does everyone need to hang shit?
She says it again. You know, you can't mount a TV. Did you even mount that mirror? He's like, well, yeah, I helped my dad mount it. She says, you know, you sold yourself on having a pool table. I thought there was going to be liquor on the walls. And he's like, yeah, no, I have a pool table. It's just in the closet with stuff on it.
Also, when was a pool table a litmus for how rich someone is? I think they're like a couple $100 at Costco.
I don't want you to have a pool table.
No.
No.
Nick has oversold himself yes. in many ways. Never on camera did he say he lived in a mansion or he was wealthy. Also, this house is huge.
Massive.
It's a huge house. Yeah. Like, yes, it was decorated in 1992. Uh-huh. Neither here nor there. It's still property in or around D.C., uh-huh. which isn't cheap. Pump the brakes, lady.
He shows her where his bed is, and he says, this is where the magic happens or doesn't happen. And Hannah says, oh, what do you say? Like, shh, mom and dad, I'm having a girl over. She is being so fucking mean to him.
Just nonstop. It's just
nonstop.
Like, bam, 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 bam. In this moment, again, knowing what we know now, I don't know if she thinks she's being coy and cute.
Oh, God. If that's her being coy and cute, I hate to think what it's like when she's actually trying to be bitchy. Yikes.
Now it's time for Marissa and Ramses to meet Marissa's friends, Woof. Veronica, Gina, and Brenda. You know that meme, Chloe's not impressed?
No.
It's that little girl in the car seat. Her family says,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Chloe's not impressed.
I love her.
That is her girlfriend's faces yes. the whole time.
From the jump.
They're not impressed with anything. No. And I'm going to give you a spoiler. We don't like to do that on this show. They're never gonna be.
They sure won't.
It's never gonna change.
It's just gonna get worse.
Marissa is there talking to her friends and saying, we talk about everything. We talk about our trauma. We talk about our finances. We talk about our lifestyle, religion. And then she's like, ha 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 ha. He's embarrassed by my military service. Ha 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 ha. She's really trying to tell her friends.
Yeah.
But also make it seem like it's MBD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much a BD.
It is a huge D. They're all from the military. And they want to know if Marissa went back in, would that be a deal breaker? And Ramses is like, yeah, we would get divorced.
And he goes on about the divorce. And he says, your politics are tied to your ethics, which I think we would all agree to.
Mm-hmm. He's like, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Your politics affect actual real people, which is absolutely true.
Absolutely true. But his inability to see that this was a decision that she made at 18 years old.
Coming from a family where her parents were clearly like, you need to go into the military.
I don't think anyone should have to justify anything they do in their life. Because like our future vice president says, mind your own damn business.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in the military. You know she was going to be in the military. But she does not have to justify her military service to you. She doesn't. Everybody is entitled to feel how they want about it, but you are not entitled to keep harping her about it because already she's conflicted.
Oh,
we already saw mm-hmm. her conflict, her deprogramming of her religion and her deprogramming of her military service. You're not helping, bro.
Also, couldn't it possibly be from somebody who got out of the church himself and like sort of understands the effects of like religious trauma? Like, couldn't it be that the military was her way of escaping Mormonism?
Absolutely. And to get her schooling paid for.
Yes.
Not for nothing, but people who go to the military, they come out with 0.00 loan debt from college.
They do that to get people in.
Listen, we both sit here as highly politically charged people, mm-hmm. but him grandstanding about this and then making her feel bad. You know, he comes from a very affluent family in Venezuela.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He comes from a lot of money. This I have found out on the World Wide Web. Bro, you're not standing in the line of fire.
No.
Or protesting or making a difference. You're sitting right now at a craft cocktail bar mm-hmm. with two inexplicable dreads on your fucking head in a very loud Zara rayon shirt. You're not making a difference. You tweeting your twats, you're not making a difference either. And again, this was all information that was readily available.
Like, that's my thing. I'm like, bitch, you knew about this shit in the pods. This is on you, my guy.
The only thing you are succeeding at right now is continuing to make her feel bad about herself.
Yeah, looking like a fucking fool.
And she's already confused.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in front of three veterans.
Yeah.
Her friends were all served in the military.
Yeah.
You are entitled to your opinion and they are entitled to serve in the military.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely infuriating that like this is his whole identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to also say some things he's saying are not wrong.
Oh, absolutely. He should know what his boundaries are.
I personally would never date a MAGA person.
No.
Once they provide me that information,
that's
it is
on you.
Yeah. You actually look stupid.
Yeah.
And you look abusive mm-hmm. and callous.
Yeah.
I just couldn't sit there and look four people in the face that I didn't necessarily agree with their take and just insult their very existence.
I'm with you. There was a tactful way of getting out of that conversation. I mean, I think they also pressed him, but I think he could have just said, like, listen, I love Marissa. This is something that we're working out. But at the end of the day, like, I love Marissa and I picked Marissa. But he didn't choose to do that. He chose violence.
And suffice it to say, her friends are not feeling it. They did not feel the rhythm of the night.
They did not.
They skipped over that song.
They sure did.
When it feels like the world is on your shoulders. Boop. Done.
So now we're with Alex and Tim and her family's coming over and she is working out exactly what is going to be said to them, where people are going to be sitting, when people are going to be getting up, when people are going to be walking, and to where they are walking. Jordan has this kind of anxiety where, like, let's say she's got an audition the next day or something. She'll be like, so I'm going to get up at 6 and then I'm going to go to a spin class. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. But she has to go through her entire, like, moment by moment for her own anxiety.
Right.
This is what Alex is doing.
Should I be writing this down? Or one of us writing this down? Yeah. I feel like I should be doing something. Yeah. Does anyone have a pen?
He tells us that she has been very nervous leading up to this, which is clear. And her family shows up. It's her dad, Richard, and her stepmom, Zandra, and her brothers, Ian and Evan.
What are you laughing at?
They just look like they came right out of the 1970s, these two boys.
One of them is absolutely rocking a kid in play.
Yes. They both have like afros and beads and they just, it looks like, I can't remember if it's Dave, I think it was Dave Chappelle that has a joke about his like Tribe Called Quest era and his like Africa Proud era. It's like that. It's just so on the nose.
The kid in play.
Yeah.
What's that, mommy? Shut up. I'll tell you about it later. I actually didn't get this on the first watch. I thought Mama Zandra was her stepmom.
Yeah.
Papa Richard and Mama Zandra are her parents who are both remarried. I didn't realize that.
Are you serious? Wait.
I thought that was her stepmom.
So did I.
That's her mom. Because she says, oh, I haven't seen Richard in forever. And underneath her, on her lower third, it said Alex's mom. And I was like, oh, that's nice. She probably didn't want to refer to her as a stepmom. No, that's her mom.
I thought her mom had MS too.
His is probably just a little further along than hers. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. Who knew?
Which is sweet and mature. I would never.
So it seems as though this family has never heard of Love is Blind. They had no idea that she was on Love is Blind.
It's like, what is Netflix? I don't.
They're like, what is happening? She's like, well, I have chosen to be with somebody and we are currently living together. Mm-hmm. We talked quite a bit. They've never been exposed to this in their lives.
He says that he's interested to meet Tim, but not excited.
Papa Richard doesn't fuck around. This guy is like, we'll see.
I actually like that. I'm interested, not excited. Yeah. That is a great way to put it. And Alex is sort of prepping them before Tim comes in. And then Tim walks in, Southern boy, sirs and ma'ams. I have to tell you, I know a lot of it is fake and put on, but I am such a sucker for Southern manners.
I like Tim. I don't know. I wrote it here. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I like him. Maybe there's shit that I don't know about from the future, but right here so far.
What are you on? Episode 9?
Yeah.
You're going to get further. He's a...
Oh, fuck. All of these guys.
I'm going to save it. I'm not going to DeLorean this
shit. God, I hate all of these people.
I'll just say I liked him here too.
All right.
I love manners.
Yeah,
I
the manners are
manners.
Lovely.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's very sweet.
Yeah, and he's made them all food and he's putting plates together. Xandra asks if they've had an argument and they sort of dance around the fight in Mexico. Alex is like, listen, I can talk and I need to learn how to like stop doing that. And Tim's like, but I also have to learn how to receive what you're saying and not react immediately. Then he tells them he felt very soft and vulnerable with her and they cried a lot. And the moment that stood out for him was when they cried together about his dead sisters.
Next time we have a lockdown of any kind, we're all going to watch this together this season.
Uh-huh.
And every time they say safe and vulnerable,
you're
going to take a shot or take a hit off a weed thingy.
Did you see the thing of the women who are watching Love is Blind with a blanket over the TV?
You sent it to me. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
But then you wouldn't know who's talking all the time when they don't introduce themselves.
That's
true. So there's
got
to be a peekaboo person being like, okay, this is Taylor and Garrett now.
Because
you can't play it totally like that.
That's
there's got to be a peekaboo person.
Although I think most of the time they'll say like, hey, is this Taylor? Oh, hey, Taylor. It's get, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, I guess it gets to a point where you're like, who the fuck? Unless you play it with the voice assist that's like, he is wearing a purple shirt and green slacks. His name is Tim, you know?
Yeah.
A purple shirt and green slacks. Why is he dressed like a flower?
Why is he wearing slacks?
What is...
What are you, my grandmother?
What's the matter with that person?
Tim says they bonded over their closeness to their family. And Papa Richard starts softening up, asking him questions about his service. And then they have their man-to-man talk. I hate that we always do this. Yeah. I hate the man-to-man talk.
I do too. Yeah.
It deeply bothers me.
Yeah.
I can't say it's because my dad is AWOL. I don't know if that's why, but like, what? No.
It's so patriarchal. My first husband like insisted on taking my dad out for lunch and asking, and I was like, please don't. I'm not his fucking property. I don't need his permission. I am an adult. I mean, granted, I was 23. I was very far from being an adult.
It's not the parents. It's always
the dad.
We see it every season.
Because your property that's being handed over. It's so gross.
It's so weird.
They bond over golf and that they were both born in England. And then he reads him this fucking letter that we already know about. And Richard is very choked up. And I texted Ellen when I first watched this. And I was like, not me crying over fucking Alex's dad crying.
Wait, my friend Misha called me, FaceTimed me sobbing.
Aww.
And I was like, girl, get yourself together. Hold on. I was like laughing at her. She's like, no, you don't understand. I literally have pictures of her calling. And I'm a good friend. I just laughed at her. I'll find it. But she's like, have you gotten to the part with Alex's dad?
It was very sweet. Between him getting choked up and him also having MS, so it like fucks with his voice to begin with, it was just, he sounded just so emotional.
Yeah, it was very sweet. And then he says this.
My baby girl.
Yes, sir.
We just met. But I believe in you. And I believe what you have written. What you have said. I believe that came from your heart. And I accept you as my son.
Thank you, sir. That means so much to me. It really does.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Ellen. How are you?
Not great. How are you?
Okay. Well, I hope you feel
Did you vote yet?
No, I haven't. I've been working.
What time are you going to go?
In a minute when my wife...
Okay. Where are you? Where are you voting? Where's your polling center?
You got her.
Dang it.
Thank you, sir. That means so much to me. It really does.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot. really does.
I welcome you to our family.
Right.
And then Xandra tells us that she is very excited and she has no concerns about Tim.
This really bothered you. We talked about this in the live show. The no concerns,
madam,
really bothered you.
You've met him for 30 minutes. You have no concerns? Do you know how many men murder their fucking wives? You have no concerns?
Mama Xandra is a voice replica for a very specific person. But
she
you're
sure
going
to
have to watch the live show to see.
So now Garrett and Taylor are going to see her place. She's wearing very, very ill-advised leather pants. I don't know who told her to wear those pants, but they need to be fired.
It's made of paste. You know that scene?
Yes.
That is one of the fun. That's like a top 10 funniest scenes in all of TV.
The physical comedy on that show was so good.
I know.
We're talking about Friends.
Matthew Perry, R.I.P. Do you know I cried?
I
cried on Rabia and Ellen when Matthew Perry died.
It was so sad.
And have you heard Keith Morrison talk about it recently?
No.
Because that was his stepdad.
Oh, I keep forgetting that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
He speaks so lovingly of him.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh,
it's
that's
really,
so sad.
Really sad. Anyway, let's bring down the room more. Let's go back to ill-advised pants.
Yeah, ill-advised pants. She lives in the basement of her best friend's house. Her fridge is empty except for protein shakes, beer, and white wine. And Garrett is just kind of like, where am I?
She also doesn't have a junk drawer.
No.
She has a junk room.
She has an entire room.
Very ADHD, which is like hide the mess.
Uh-huh.
You
yeah.
know, like if someone's coming over.
Yeah.
And you're like, let me just put this all in this closet and hope nobody opens that closet.
I did that when Kurt came over for the first time. I put everything into a closet and I think he went and opened it at some point. And I was like, no, don't go.
It's just like a body.
Yeah, like a Jack Benny routine. He wants her to move in with him in Fredericksburg, but she wants to go back to San Diego. And they have this very long discussion about it during which I fell asleep.
You know why you fell asleep?
Yeah.
Because it was so easy
yes.
and lovely
yeah.
and grown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were in like a training course, like, and this is how you
yes.
talk about things like an adult. Boop.
Mature.
Yeah. And he's like, I wouldn't mind moving. I know I agreed to it, but I'm, you know, thinking about things.
Whereas Monica would have been like, wait, you said you wanted to and now you're thinking about it? Like, I'm so confused right now.
She hears him, recognizes what
yeah.
a big sacrifice that would be, explains her needs and wants.
Mm-hmm.
This is so boring because you guys are so fucking healthy
yeah.
and therapized and intelligent.
And she's the one that has the books on emotional intelligence, social
yes,
intelligence.
Yes.
She's got Pretty Little Things. Yeah.
But you know what? I don't want to see that bullshit on Love is Blind. I don't want to see your positive fucking...
That's not what you're not paying for Netflix for.
No, that is not what my mother pays my Netflix bill for, okay? My mom pays for the drama.
Yeah, mama
God
pays for the drama.
Damn it. I'm so over it. Like, that bitch isn't paying $6.99 for nothing.
No.
I'm not paying it.
No. So now we're with Steven and Monica. We find out that he got laid off and she's like, okay, well, what's the longest you've ever been unemployed? He says a week and a half. And she's like, all right, I'll float you. Like, I'll be your sugar mama. Again, out of fucking nowhere, he says that he would be perfectly okay with her treating him like a piece of meat. Sir, you are discussing finances. This is actually an important thing. You barely know each other. This is not how you wanted it to go. And you're bringing it back to how you need a dominatrix.
We're going to find out this is a very important conversation. And I just want to add to this. He does bring it up at very odd times,
yeah.
which I think is like a neurodivergent thing. Because he's like, I want to talk about
yeah,
this. I want to talk
yeah,
about
yeah.
this. I want to talk about this now. We all sit and we mask all the billions of thoughts we have in our head.
Yeah.
But it just comes off as so inappropriate. And we're going to talk more about this later. He clearly has some sexual needs, desires.
He needs to talk about it.
That he needs to talk about. And he clearly hasn't found the time to talk about it because a mature adult is going to say, hey, can we talk about our feelings and relationship with sex?
Yeah. Can we talk about the fact that I need to get fisted in my ass every night? Like, that's an important thing.
I think he is trying to communicate that he
yes.
is a sub. That's what I think he's
yeah.
trying to say.
Yeah.
Rather than that, he's like tap dancing around it and it just always comes out. He's like, I mean, because I'm a man. We get it.
Oh my God.
You get hard-ons all the time. Okay. Yes, it's not hard. And he's like, Most women have different combinations.
Sir, I don't need you to fucking mansplain how vaginas work, my guy. I have one. She has one. We're fine. This whole discussion doesn't make sense. Both of them are out to lunch.
Yes, you're absolutely right. They're having two different conversations. She's saying the sex is great.
But they haven't had it for we don't know how long because he's been expressing concerns. And what I don't understand about that is like you two are trying to figure out if you're going to get married. And what you've decided that now you're not going to have sex with him unless he's sure you're going to get married. Like you've had plenty of sex before marriage. We know this about you. It's fine. The fastest way to decide not to get married is to stop having sex. Like,
yeah.
How are you going to remove one of the most important parts out of it? And he's over there being like, I mean, if you wanted to punch my asshole, I don't know. Ha ha ha.
I know. It's so immature. We'll talk more. And then Steven says,
there's so many different things you could put your dick inside. Pineapple, bowl of macaroni and cheese.
Bowl of macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Insane.
Like, what in the Julia trial? Because, real talk, Steven, have you put your dick in a pineapple?
Have you? You know what? Listen, they have those devices that core a pineapple.
He says he hasn't. Monica doesn't believe him, and neither do I.
Well, no, he says he hasn't put his dick in a bowl of mac and cheese.
That seems messy. And how are you going to get that delicious cheese off? You're going to wipe it off? Like, no, you can't let that cheese go to waste. Katie wrote, note to self, don't invite them to a potluck.
I think that you could core a pineapple with a pineapple corer and stick your dick in it.
And put your wiener in it? Okay.
Yeah, and if your dick is the right size, it probably feels great.
Monica says she just wants someone who's obsessed with her vagina. That is a requisite.
Yeah.
Who is not obsessed with vaginas out there or that are attracted to vaginas sexually?
Misogynists and those alpha males who are like, once you go down on a woman, that's it. She's going to be making you make dinner next.
I would literally block and delete. The only thing I can say for all of my horrible train wreck list of exes is they have all been very consumed with my vagina, or I wouldn't have been with them.
Yeah. My ex-girlfriend couldn't find my clit, which is interesting because she had one. No. She couldn't find it.
It's not as hard as people.
It's right there.
Does my vagina look different than other people's vaginas? John wrote, I am not, that's in bold, obsessed with vaginas nor attracted. Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks, John. Wow.
I guess gay men do not have to be
obsessed.
You've
never seen a vagina? Then how could you possibly know that you're not attracted to a vagina?
Exactly. And you also probably came out of one. You didn't turn and look back?
Yeah. Also, John, all you need to do is meet the right vagina.
He says, I love the gay gaslighting here. Listen, your choices are your choices.
That's your
you
choice.
You want to choose to be gay.
Yeah.
You chose
that's
to be
your life
here.
Again, could you imagine somebody tuning in for the first time?
The first time.
What the fuck?
Amber just pops on. She's like, hey, we here at Grab Bag Collab.
But once again, in this conversation, Steven's like, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. No, you're right. No, you're right. This is what he says all the time.
More on that later. Over to Nick D's Nuts and Hannah, backwards spells Hannah. She is cleaning like a crazy person.
Oh my God.
And then I remembered, oh yeah, she doesn't have a job.
Thank you. She doesn't have a job. Nobody's there except her dog and the camera people. And she's like, this place is gross. She is cleaning for Jesus. These people have lived in this apartment for what? 3 days?
The apartment looks totally fine to me.
There's no way the way she is scrubbing the crevices that you mean to tell me that you've been cooking so much on that stove. She uses an entire fucking roll of paper towels.
I am so glad you said that. I'm a crazy recycling person.
Yes.
Like I take old socks. I clean, like I never use, I have paper towels. They probably last me a month.
Yeah.
The amount of paper towels she used, I had to look away.
I think Netflix was intentionally being like, look at how insane this person is, because they showed it every single time she went to get a paper towel.
She was like pulling and ripping.
Amanda says, no wonder her groceries are $300 a week.
She's like, Niak, don't forget 7 rolls of paper towels, Niak. And then she says the floors are gross and they need sweeping every day.
Every day?
Ma'am, may I introduce you to a Roomba? You're not well.
She says she vacuums every day. He says once every 2 weeks. Okay, again, Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle is the right answer. I actually love vacuuming.
Yeah, but Barry, you own a golden retriever. You have to, like, yeah, I was sweeping with my hands all over my apartment this morning. Of course you sweep every day or almost every day.
Yeah, so no, that's a no. She needs a Roomba. They're like $60 on Amazon. Ma'am, if you haven't that much of an issue, you need to sort yourself out.
He walks in and to her credit, the first thing she says is, you look nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes to change out of his work clothes and he comes in another dress shirt and she fucking negs him about that. He says, the place already looks better. It feels nice. It already feels like home. And she goes, what? Because I cleaned it.
You're not working, ma'am. What else are you doing? You don't have kids.
He's trying to tell her about work. He's like, so I have these two new buyer clients. I have to talk. And she's like, can you take the trash out, Nick? Right now, Nick? Take the trash out, Nick.
She wants to go over her list of chores. She's like, when you do laundry, you do my laundry. You take out the garbage. I don't want to ask you. This chore conversation was giving me heartburn.
Oh, it was awful. She's acting like the mother of a kid who she's been telling him over and over and over and over. Like, she's acting like me with Monty. Like, how many fucking times do I have to ask you to vacuum?
You do laundry. You do my laundry.
I mean, obviously, you put your shit in the laundry basket. Whoever does the laundry does the fucking laundry. You take out the trash. I'm not taking out the trash. And obviously, Lola's my dog. But like, now she's your responsibility, too. And you have to take care of Lola. You got to walk her out every day. She's my princess. You have to take care of Lola.
Is the dog's name Lola? I thought it was something else. Bella?
I thought it was
What's
Lola.
What's the dog's name? Is it Lola? It's a very popular dog's name. It might be Lola.
Daisy is an incredibly popular dog name.
Then she says, if you're out grocery shopping, ask me what I want. She says she spends $300 a week.
Ma'am.
On groceries. Now, I know the price of groceries has gone up.
What are you buying?
COVID. Are you feeding 17 teenage boys?
Are you buying caviar?
Are you buying Kobe steaks? What are you buying?
Are you buying fucking Veuve Clicquot by the case?
You're one person. How much do you guys spend for three people on groceries for the week? I know it can fluctuate.
Like, we get a box of groceries. We probably spend somewhere around $100, $80 to $100 on that.
Yeah.
And then, like, we'll go get proteins. But there's three of us.
I do HelloFresh every other week. Granted, I've used 7,000 email addresses.
Sure.
To use the coupon because I'm not paying the full price.
Yeah,
what do you think I am, a moron? And I eat well. I don't nickel and dime.
I could shop at Whole Foods for $300 a week and feed my entire family.
There's no way. That is hyperbolic. That literally can't be true.
So he doesn't want to join accounts. And she's like, well, Nick, your debt is going to be my debt and my debt is going to be your debt. And like your student loans are going to be my student. And he goes, well, it's a good thing I don't have any debt or student loans. And she's like, well, I do. So that's going to be on you.
I did not think that Hannah's personality could be any uglier than those boots that we saw in episode one. But here we are. And she says she wants separate bank accounts and then, you know, like a bills bank account.
He doesn't want to join accounts, which I understand. And if I were her, I would not want to join accounts either.
I agree with keeping finances separate and putting money in a pot.
Yes.
Not everyone agrees with me on that.
She tells him that she's more financially literate than him.
Ma'am, you quit your job to go on a reality show. You are not what I gauge financial responsibility against.
So she says, I've been on my own since I was 18 and your parents still pay your car insurance and your phone bill. And I have a 401k and stocks. And he says, I don't give a fuck about stocks.
And then she's like, do you have stocks, Nick? Okay, listen, everything I learned about stocks, I learned from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
thank you, Matthew
obviously.
McConaughey. Who knows about stocks? You don't know about stocks. She's like, Nick, you got to buy low and sell high, Nick.
Everybody has stocks, Nick.
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 There's aggressive stocks. She's literally giving you stocks 101. You don't know dick about
stocks.
You don't
know fuck about dick, bitch.
You don't know dick about dick. Great that you're investing.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about.
She's like, I'll teach you about stocks. No. No, thank you.
Who actually, I don't even think stockbrokers know about stocks. What are you buying air? What are you buying?
You are buying a concept.
Yeah. Let's go buy NFTs and Bitcoin stock.
Yeah.
And I am a grown-ass adult. I have a financial planner that does that shit for me. He starts talking. I'm like, bitch, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a grown-ass person.
Yeah. Obviously, we need to start setting something up for ourselves, but I don't invest in the stock market because I don't know how to do that without investing in, like, fucking war profiteering and killing the environment and all that shit, and so I won't participate. But, like, fuck off. Is all I have to say.
That was great, Daisy. Yeah, that was great. You know, people can say a lot about you,
yeah,
but what they cannot take away from you is your eloquence.
I'm so eloquent.
Yeah.
I just know how to say things good.
So good. You're good.
Yeah.
And you are hot.
Yep.
And good.
I'm hot and good.
So I'm just saying, she is riding his dick about stocks. Nobody understands stocks, bitch. Hillary says, I somehow feel personally gaslit by Hannah about my knowledge on stocks. I don't get it. My brother has tried to explain Bitcoin to me 100 times. It's invisible, right? It's monopoly money.
Well, everything is invisible except for, I mean, our country is invisible. These are all just ideas. I can't get behind any of this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about stocks.
Right. If you ever want to invest in stocks, just let me know and invest your money in stocks.
Stocks. I could give a fuck about stocks.
I can teach you.
Do you know about sports?
No, but okay, well, money, sports, you know?
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Does watching sports make you more financially successful?
I don't think stocks does.
And she's like that dog, like, huh? Huh?
I love it when dogs do that.
Huh?
It's so cute.
Oh my God. Stop acting like you're fucking, you work at Merrill Lynch.
Speaking of which, where's my grab bag 401k?
Oh, it's in the, we sent you an email about it.
Oh, it's in my email?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are you looking at?
This, my cuticles are all dry.
Oh, okay. I just had a couple more 401k questions when you're done with your cuticles.
Yeah, no, that's an Amber question because I don't deal with
the
money.
Okay, let's call Amber.
You're going to ask her now?
Yeah, I just because, like, you know, I forget things really easily. Oh. And I've been meaning to be like, what are my dividends?
Okay.
What are, like, do I have the IRA? Hey, Amber, it's Ellen Marsh from Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I'm actually on with Daisy Egan.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the bathtub.
I always catch you at really good times, Amber. I'm really good at that. Quick question. Because Daisy and I were talking about, you know, Hannah and Nick were talking about finances. And I was just asking her about my grab bag 401k. And she said that was an Amber question. So do you have a minute to just go over that with me?
Oh, looking at something.
What are you looking at? What are you? That's so funny. Daisy was just like, what are you looking at?
There's a spot in
my window. Okay, what? When you're done looking at that, I'm in no rush, really. Whenever you have a second, I can imagine spots are kind of annoying.
Yeah, and there are bugs in my office.
Bugs?
Oh, no.
Is your bathtub in your office?
No, I've got a lot on my mind.
I know, election day. Yeah, just back to the 401k.
I have to go cover that tonight, too.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So,
back to the 401k. I just like, what are my dividends?
I mean, there are just so many bugs in my office.
Ladybugs, that's good luck.
That's what I said.
Well, Daisy said there was an email about it, so I'm just going to search my email. I'll probably circle back with questions if that's okay.
That sounds good. This is the number you'll call from.
Who's a funny girl? Love you, Amber.
Love you too.
I can't believe she fucking did that gag on the phone. I can't believe she just did your gag from the bathtub. Oh God, that was good. That was fucking good.
Is this the number you'll be calling for?
Well done, grasshopper.
Somewhere in the middle of this, Hannah kind of just stops and she goes, one of my bad habits is assuming that if someone doesn't do things my way, it's the wrong way. And I'm going to get bitter about doing that. And then she manages to make it an insult by saying, like, the way you do the dishes or the way you do the bed, like, I don't like it, but like, I have to learn.
It is so wild. Also, I would love to be in a brain that thinks that you're the best and not that you're the wrong one every time.
Yeah.
Literally, that's like opposite because I'm always like, I want to do this unless you say something different because you're probably smarter than me.
Right.
How does that work?
I know how to do everything and I have to learn that other people, they do them wrong, but like I have to learn to be okay with it.
Yeah. She can turn anything into an insult.
Anything. John, does my southern accent kill you because it's so good? Is that why you're like, oh, it's so good? good.
You know, the West Virginia is very specific. Like the diphthongs, nia.
Yeah.
Like that. Just like how many vowel sounds do you need to make?
She said, I already sweeped once today.
She's so condescending.
You sweeped?
So this is a lot of blase blah. We go to meet Ashley's dad with Tyler. Papa Dixon, he brought him booze. Why not?
He already knows what's going on. Unlike Alex's family, he understands that they met in the pods and they're living together and they're gonna get married. Whatever. They made themselves feel safe and protected and all fucking vulnerable and deep and ay, ay, ay.
Papa Dixon asks about kids and Tyler says he wants kids.
Too late.
He has kids.
Mm-hmm.
Another great time.
Another okay. great time.
Yes, Lola.
You're almost done.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? It's a yes or no question.
I don't know. I don't know how long we're going to talk. We don't script it. We just fly off the seat of our pants.
We have to go vote soon.
We're going to go vote as soon as we're done.
They have to curl my hair as soon as we're done.
Love you.
Bye.
Oof. Did you hear that? Love you, bye.
Anyway. I would not be able to have a daughter. I wouldn't be able to do it. I would have moved to Kuala Lumpur by now.
Every time I feel good about myself,
yeah,
she really makes sure that I'm kept in line. So,
well, when are you done?
Barry said, welcome to hell. Oh, boy. She's going to be someone else's problem one day.
But only if they ask your permission first. Tyler says he's not going to lie to her. Too late. He shares everything with her. Mm. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
And yeah, he is ready for kids.
Yeah.
It's my dad who for the second year in a row didn't call me until 10 p.m. on my birthday.
Okay. All I heard was you have a dad. So that's weird.
You know what? Fucking check my privilege. You're right.
The only thing that I liked that Papa Dixon said was, life is a journey and I'm in the back seat. And he's like, listen, he trusts his daughter's judgment.
But I think what he meant was like, I was in the driver's seat and now you are because you're now the man. That's what I thought he meant.
It's so funny having a friend like you.
What, that everything's negative?
Yeah. I was like, remember... And then he said, I give you my treasure, Ellen. That's disgusting. I thought he was saying, you know, the way I took it was we spend all this time raising our kids. Now, full transparency, he was incarcerated for, I think, 7 years. So he was not a part of her life and they don't hold any ill will. You know, I took it as we take this time, we raise our kids the best we all can. We're all just doing our best. But at the end of the day, it's their life to drive. But I see how you turn that into a misogynistic trope and you're probably smarter than me. So,
well, I am.
Yeah. It'd be fun to trade brains for a day.
Oh, God. I'm already too tired. So then we get scary music. Oof. And we come upon Monica and Steven, or just Monica, who is crying with Taylor in her apartment. And Taylor is crying and everybody's crying. And Taylor says she thought it was weird in Mexico when Steven was talking about how many women were going to want to suck his dick in a year when the show comes out. And Monica says, allegedly, he was at a sleep test last night. And I wrote, Taylor is a down bitch. She's like, you don't deserve this. This is disgusting. This is evil. And then the camera pans to the kitchen where Steven is right there. They're having this discussion about whatever happened that Steven did with Steven right there.
Baby, say it to his face. One time I was on tour with West Side Story and we took like little side backpacking trips and mm-hmm. we were at a hostel in Amsterdam. And this was like back in the early 2000s. And the hostel had a computer that everyone could use for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, because other people need to use a computer. And this one guy was on for like 45 minutes. So I'm sitting waiting like in the lobby, like we're all hanging out. We're like stoned because it's Amsterdam. Yeah. Like, what else do you do? So finally I get up and I decide to stand there because maybe he doesn't know that someone else wants to use the computer. And I am so stoned. And someone goes, Ellen, what are you doing? And I go, I'm waiting in line for the computer. The guy is right there. And I'm just standing behind him. And in my outsidiest voice.
Outsidiest.
I'm going to say it to your face. He's like, I'll log off.
I thought you were going to say he was like doing fetish stuff. So Steven comes to sit down.
Reading those text messages filled with fetishes and coming in, like, it's disgusting, Steven.
You're right. You're right.
Stop acting like you're right. I know I'm right. Say something else. Why did you do this? Why did you propose? Why did you come here? Like, who are you? Were you at a sleep test last night?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I believe that.
there's so much to unpack.
Yeah.
Here. Okay, so of course he doesn't know where the text went. He deleted them. And she's like, you were texting yesterday and today. I have so much to talk about. I don't know what order to talk about it in. First of all, I don't like either one of them.
No.
Monica is calling his kinks dirty and disgusting. She says it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
She's not talking about this cheating. I consider this cheating.
Yeah.
She's specifically calling his kinks
disgusting
and dirty. I understand. Like, you're upset. I don't know. I felt a little weird with them including that. I'm not defending Steven.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Let's talk about the cheating.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the fact that you didn't feel comfortable enough to talk about these sexual desires you have, and you felt like you had to go outside of our relationship. That is the problem. Like, and if you're not into, not everyone is into kink.
But again, this is why he should have brought it up.
Calling that dirty and disgusting on TV is actually just going to shame him. And that's probably why he didn't want to talk to you about it, because he got a very missionary sex vibe from you. And that is fine. But let's talk about the cheating.
I think I can give her a little bit of grace because she's probably, her world has just been fucking shook. And so she's probably not. But I also think she's somebody who, if he was like, hey, do you want to finger my asshole? She'd be like, that's disgusting.
You're right. I guess it's less of what she said and more about, like, that's the part that Netflix chose to air.
Yeah.
We don't talk about sex in a healthy way.
No.
And what if he's pan or bi or whatever? Now we're just shaming him back into talking about it at awkward times, not being a good communicator.
Yeah, this is reminding me of Diamond and Carlton. And like, you know, he needed to bring up his shit in the pods, and Diamond handled it so well. And Carlton is having a response to basically how Monica responded. You know?
I'm sorry. We got to talk about this. In the pods, Steven admitted to being a cheater.
Yes.
In the same way.
Yep.
And he explained that it's because he felt unworthy of the women he was with. I don't accept that as an excuse. However, what in your brain didn't make you think that those indiscretions could apply to you?
Right, like, exactly.
You apologized to him.
Right.
And he has said the I don't deserve her thing many times. So there has to be some deep-rooted insecurity. Like, he said it at a couple of the meetups. I don't deserve her. She's too good for me. I am not saying she is responsible for his indiscretions at all. However, were there follow-up conversations?
Right.
Like, you let him way off the hook. I would not let someone off the hook that easily. The Freddie conversation with Kat, right? He was approaching that in a really healthy way, and she is allowed to say that is a deal breaker. You know what I mean?
Like, totally. 100%.
You have to decide what your deal breakers are. Monica just breezed over it.
Yes, she absolutely did. And she was like, yeah, but it made you stronger. It made you who you are today. And remember I said, is that how you're going to feel when he fucking cheats on you? Clearly it's not.
Yeah.
She's like, who are you and why did you propose? And he's like, well, there's nothing I could say at this point that you would believe. And she's like, is there something I should believe?
Right. I'm approaching this as someone who does not like either one of these people. Now, I don't want to be racist because I can't empathize with the struggle of a black man in America. I just want to say that.
Wait. I'm like, I'm going to see where this is going.
Well, because, you know, I can't. He walks a different life than
me. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Let's talk about the you're right. You're right.
You're right.
You're right.
You're right. You're so right. You're so right. And she finally calls him on it. She's like, stop saying that. I know I'm right.
I totally agree with that.
Yes.
He's not taking responsibility for his misbehavior and his actions.
Right.
He's trying to stop an argument.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fastest way to stop an argument.
Yes.
And he's not having a discussion, and she needs that.
Yeah.
And she deserves that, quite frankly.
Yeah. And he said, I made a stupid mistake. I got drunk at the sleep study. And she was like, but you were texting with her today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. She goes, yes, you were. I looked at your phone and the dirtiest texts were from today.
Yeah.
Then he claims that he deleted the texts because he didn't even want to look at them. But I have really good news. We found the texts.
We sure did.
All right. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be Peg or do you want to be Steven?
Whatever you want, my love.
I'll be Steven.
You guys, please don't release this because these were given to us confidentially.
Yeah.
When this goes onto a general feed, we'll delete this. This can only be behind a paywall.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the texts right here. I'm showing them to our audience.
You up?
Hey.
Just drink at a sleep study.
LOL, they let you drink at a sleep study?
Sleep study is code for the Motel 6 off Route 9. LOL, 69.
Don't you have a finance?
I mean, technically, but she's cool with it. Plus, she doesn't do butt stuff.
Sad face.
Why don't you come over and I can give you... This is disgusting.
Disgusting.
Why don't you come over and I can give you a cream pie in your peach emoji?
Yeah?
Yeah, baby. I'll sploot... This is really gross.
Gross. I don't know. No, this is disrespectful.
I'll splooge so hard it will drip out of you for weeks.
Will you squirt emoji in my hair?
I will squirt emoji, squirt emoji, squirt emoji in your hair, on your face, on your tits.
Mmm.
I just got waxed.
Your balls?
Yeah, my asshole. You can fist me if you want, smiley face.
Gets out latex gloves. Be right there.
I got lube, L-O-O-B.
Kissing emoji.
Tongue emoji. Peach emoji. Wow.
Wow. Those are dirty.
Those are dirty.
Like, listen, especially since you're cheating on your finance.
Come on. Don't cheat on your finance.
Right to fisting.
Right to fisting. No, Ashlyn, those texts were not real. That was a bit.
That was a silly goose bit that Daisy did.
I wrote those texts and then I sent them to Ellen and I was like, they're disgusting. Yeah. Just be prepared.
And then, you know, he kind of just ends it. He's like, I shouldn't have come on the show.
This goes along with him being like, you're right, you're right, you're right. She starts to cry and he's like, bye.
Yeah. He walked away in a very I don't give a shit kind of manner.
He goes, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. He says,
I truly am sorry for hurting you, for wasting your time, for coming on this show and doing this to you. I shouldn't have come on the show.
What a selfish thing to say. What a selfish piece of shit. You fucking put a ring on my finger and now you shouldn't have been on the show?
His lack of emotion is infuriating.
Yes.
And really telling in this moment.
Yeah.
It's very sociopathic. But I gotta say, Monica will go down in history, in Love is Blind history, as having one of the most badass comebacks there's ever been. And she's like, sit your black ass down and Venmo me the money I have been fronting you, you trick ass bitch. And he does. He Venmos her the money that, like, she was fronting him for the past couple days.
Woof. She is fucking devastated. And
sobbing.
Taylor and Garrett come back to comfort her. And they're very, very good friends, these two.
Garrett is very tender and very sweet. It was very sweet of him to come. Like, it's a woman moment and he's there and he's just being supportive, which was very nice. Now, I have another take.
Okay.
In thinking back to it, Monica has said many times that Stephen is not her type. She's like, he's not my type. His looks, he's working class, his lifestyle, his behavior. Remember at the fireworks, she hates him.
I think it was in the discussion about the YSL bag and the Louis Vuitton. I think she was like, oh, he's really lower class. And I think that was the moment where she just decided she was going to be mad at him about everything.
She has been mad at him about, I don't know why she has been putting on this three-act play that she's madly in love. I don't know if she was trying to convince her to like be with a rough around the edges working class guy. I don't know. But in thinking back, because it's like, you know, you watch it and then you're just like, wait, the sum of the parts equals you actually don't like him.
Yeah.
And that is okay.
Yeah.
But you now look like a bitch when you add all of those things together. He's a piece of shit.
Right.
He's a pig. Not taking that away, but you don't come out so great.
No.
Ashley said Garrett and Taylor are such green flags. They make me die of boredom. It's actually true. These are two people that should have been running in the opposite direction from each other.
This is like Hannah and Nick, but Hannah knew from the very second she laid eyes on him that she hated him. And it took Monica a little longer to realize how poor Stephen was. And then she didn't want to be with him.
I would like to say now, if anyone listening hates me, just hate me. Passive aggressive shit is way worse.
Yeah.
It's like dying by paper cuts.
Yes.
You know, just break up with me. Tell me I bug the shit out of you. When you really think back, if we were to do a super cut of Monica's annoying, controlling, slightly elitist behavior.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be good.
Oh, God, don't get me a Kate Spade bag. Are you kidding me? No, he's not kidding you.
Babe, she hates him talking.
Yeah.
And then she had nothing to say.
Nothing. I want to gossip. You're talking about our future and I want to gossip.
Yeah, there's nobody's side to take, unfortunately, in this scenario. I wish you both well. I wish you find someone that can satisfy your kinks, and I hope you get a YSL bag. I don't know what to tell you.
Did you see that Netflix thing that was like, we're not the cops? Like, we're not supposed to, and it's like, well, no, you're not the cops, but you should be doing simple background checks.
I didn't see that, but yeah. The Tyler thing, yeah. I mean, I feel like Steven was really dropping hints as to his sort of sexual fantasies, which I am not putting down.
No.
But like, it is a big conversation.
And there are lots of people who are into the same thing as you. Monica is not it. And if you had explained this to her in the pods, you wouldn't be matched.
Yeah.
She made a TikTok wearing a YSL bag. Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't see that. As far as I'm concerned, Steven and Monica can shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, Steven and Monica.
Shut the fuck up. Thank you for joining us, everyone, on this episode. That is it for this one, and we're just gonna keep pumping it out. I can't wait for you to see what happens.
I'm so excited.
Thank you to all of our backstage cunts for being here. Until next time, I love you so much.
Love you too. Shut the fuck up, Steven and Monica.
But also shut the fuck up. Bye, everyone.